Welcome in to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. We've got another interesting show, a little bit different than what we did during the regular season. We're going to start off with the coaching carousel as it continues to spin around and around. Then we're going to talk a little Chiefs Dolphins with the injury report. I've got a little bit of a take on Tua Tagovailoa, and then we'll head into our hot segments of Believe It or Not and our score predictions. My name is Quentin Morris. We got Thiz running the show in the background. And now two guys whose takes are as cold as Arrowhead Stadium will be on Saturday. It's the old man himself, JP, and Caleb the Professor. How are we doing, guys?
Good. A lot better. How are you guys doing?
Man. Good, good. I'm not as cold as you guys are, but it's been actually cold.
Oh, here. Dude. It's supposed to be worse tomorrow.
I heard. Hey, man, when I was there last Christmas and we got out of the car after driving all that time, and it was, they said the wind chill at that point was 47 below. We were trying to get the container off of the top of the car, and our hands actually got stuck. I mean, like frozen stuck. And I told my wife, I said, go inside. And she goes, no, we got to get this off. And I said, I'll get it. Just go inside. I was trying to help her. And then my old ass was stuck up there on top of a Tahoe trying to get this damn thing off. It was so cold. It took us a good hour to warm up. I mean, my hands hurt, like the pain. So I can only imagine.
A hot shower.
Hell yeah. I mean, it was nasty. So I can just imagine what this is going to be like. So.
Oh, it's supposed to be like zero at game time tomorrow.
Like a negative 30 wind chill.
Yeah. Yeah, like tonight going tomorrow, it's supposed to get freezing rain mixed with the sleet and some snow in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. It'll be, things just should be fine by midday, but ooh, this is not looking great. So
yeah, it's going to be nasty.
Sucks for Dolphins fans and players. They're used to the heat.
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting part of it. But let's get into the coaching carousel real quick, because that's something that's interesting right now.
We've got a lot of coaches. Six different spots open now.
Seven, I think.
Let's just all right. We've got Commanders, Falcons, Chargers, the Panthers. We've got the Raiders and the Patriots are all, and the Titans are all open now. Obviously,
and there's going to be two. I can promise you now.
I even forgot about Pete Carroll. It's kind of crazy. There's been a couple of big surprising ones. I know I was still on the wagon of, I still thought that Bill Belichick was going to stay in New England. I thought that we kept hearing the reports that, oh, they're having meetings. Oh, you know, their discussions are happening. But I was like, if it was going to happen, I thought it was going to happen by now. I thought that they were just dragging. It was being drug out too far. And then we got the news today that they officially parted ways. Bill Belichick put on a suit for the first time in 25 years.
Yes.
And he smiled for the first time in about 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he actually smiled during that. So showed some empathy.
It's it's an interesting time in the NFL when you have, you know, you've got Pete Carroll, Super Bowl winning coach. You've got, you know, Bill Belichick, one of the greatest coaches of all time, you know, all getting fired. And I don't care that they say, oh, you know, we're mutually agreeing to part. Your ass got canned. Okay. That's what it is. It's an interesting time.
That was an interesting situation though, Quentin. I asked around a little bit today about that. And what we talked about on the show last week, or the last show, is actually true. Josh McDaniels was a part of that package. And that was part of the discussions with bringing Josh McDaniels back as the OC. And it just didn't. Kraft loves him for some reason. Belichick apparently did not want that to happen.
That's Kraft, though.
You know, he won you. He brought you so much success, of course.
Well, it wasn't him, though. I mean, because if that was the case, then he would have done it elsewhere with another Super Bowl winning coach. He's not good at what he does. I think honestly, it was all Brady. It was all Brady during that time frame while Josh McDaniels was there. He may have been calling the plays, but I guarantee you Brady was the one executing him, and he was also the one making the changes during the game, the audibles and everything else to make sure those plays. And I don't like – look, I'm the last guy that's going to talk up Brady, but after seeing what McDaniels has done with two different franchises, he's terrible.
But I also think, though, Belichick did a good job of having a good defense that allowed Brady to do what he needed to do at times. So I think it is some Brady, but also Belichick – made them consistent with having a great defense. And even when Brady left, their defense was still top notch. The offense just couldn't perform at times.
Even this year, their defense was still good. And I couldn't, I could name you like two guys, and one of them on the Patriots defense, and one of them got traded from the Chargers back to the Patriots in J.C. Jackson. So I still think that Bill Belichick is a hell of a coach. It's just his player acquisition sucks.
Always has. It always has. He took a lot of flack when he decided to stick with Brady back in the day.
They had over Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, I mean, they just paid him that big contract for that time. Mm-hmm. It was a big contract. And then he decided to stick with Brady. And he took a lot of flack for that. I got to say, though, if you – and you really have to break this down. If you look at his numbers prior to the Patriots and then after Brady left, he's not had winning seasons. He was mediocre prior to Brady, got fired once, and then after, now he's got fired. So it is what it is. I think Belichick is a great defensive-minded coach. He's terrible at especially offensive acquisitions. He did great on the defense. He always did. And he could make average defensive players better. He can't do that with the offense. He just got very lucky in the situation that he was in with Brady. So it is what it is, but hey, you know what? The guy, he's not going to retire. I did hear today that what we talked about before is probably going to happen. It's probably going to be Mike Vrabel that ends up in New England.
Okay.
So I asked a lot of questions today. So I have a little bit of insight on this, but Harbaugh apparently was interested in the Chargers.
He needs to leave the Chargers and go to Atlanta.
I'm telling you, I think the Atlanta spot job.
To win, Atlanta's the place to be. It's the place to go. Why do you want to do it Mahomes? The NFC South, the Falcons have some playmakers. He's good at building groups. If he wants to start something, Atlanta's the place to go. And I agree with you, JP. Yeah, Chargers is nice, but Atlanta, he can do
something. I don't agree with it.
Are we sure the Chargers is nice?
No, I don't think they're nice.
Atlanta's more of an area where he can succeed early and allow him to do what he needs to do and acquire more players and better acquisition.
Yeah.
Hey, if he gets to Atlanta, and if they bring in, let's say they trade for Justin Fields, and with that offense, I'm telling you right now, that team is going to make the playoffs next year.
I wasn't advocating for him to go to the Chargers. That's his mindset. What's up, Joe? That's his mindset. He looks at that team as kind of how he looked at it when he took over the 49ers. He took a very dismal football team and took bad players and turned them into good players. The difference is this, and this is – I actually put this out on Twitter today. He needs to think about ownership. The 49ers have much better ownership and front office than the Chargers do and never have. He's not walking into a good situation with the Chargers if that's what his mindset really is. So
I do believe though, if you go to Atlanta, you have an owner that's supporting you, I think it can work out.
Yeah.
With
the
playmakers and pieces.
I agree. I also think that Seattle would be a good spot for him. Seattle supports their ownership. He's got Pete Carroll in the office, you know. Kind of give him the ins and outs of what's going on with that team, what has gone on with it. He's going to be an advisor. Seattle would be a good spot for him. It's just one of those situations where you have to really think about it in the long term. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you may be able to get a job with the Chargers, and it may look appealing because you got a quarterback, but what else do you have? Mm-hmm. You're talking about 3 or 4 years of rebuild, minimum. He's not going to turn that team around in a year. Not going to happen.
I would say that when Jim Harbaugh joined the 49ers in 2011, that team was already very good. It was just they didn't have the coach there. This is a team that had Alex Smith as their quarterback, Vernon Davis as their tight end, guys like Joe Staley on the offensive line, and then one of the best linebacker duos that I've ever seen in football history with Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis. So I would say that team was already set up for success, and he took it and it brought it to the next level. The team that I look at that is similar to that is going to either be Seattle or I would still argue for Atlanta, even though they don't necessarily have the quarterback. You have a top pick, and you're going to be able to get a guy like a Bo Nix or a Jaden Daniels to come in and run your franchise. So I think Atlanta is the best job available out there. I also think that the Washington job, low-key, if you're looking for a multi-year rebuild and you're comfortable with that, you have the second overall pick, so you basically get whatever quarterback that you want outside of what – you're either going to get Drake May. You're probably going to get Drake May. And then you're going to be able to rebuild with $40 million in cap space plus some extra picks that you got for trading away your defensive edge rushers. So,
and not only that, you got an owner that actually cares.
And you've got, yeah, you've got a brand new owner who has had success in finding guys and building teams and as an owner. So I think that those three jobs are actually more viable than going for the Chargers. I know the Chargers have a starting quarterback, but you're going to be in cap hell because they sold out to try and win this year. And you don't have any, top youth. You don't have any, like you don't have a number one wide receiver, a rookie number one wide receiver, or a young guy on a rookie contract. You don't have a stud pass rusher that is been able to be successful in the league on a rookie contract. Yeah, you've got a Bosa who spent more time in the club than in the ice box than on the field. So I just think that the Chargers are not as good of a job as people want to say. They just see their quarterback and they think that it's going to be a good job. And I just don't think that.
It can't be. Nobody. I don't think anybody's out there looking at that job and going, wow, that's a really good job. They've had – look, man, if you look at the – when we talk about coaching carousels, if you look at the coaching changes over the last 20 years, they're second behind the Raiders. They've had 12 coaches in the time frame that Belichick – well, in the 20 years, just put it this way, the 20 years that Brady was with the – in 20 years that he was with the Patriots, they had 12 coaches. So there is no success there. You have offensive coordinators that are changed every other year. You know, there's no success because you have bad ownership. Nobody's going to look at that team and go, this is a great fucking situation, because it's not. That's like saying Carolina is a good situation. It's not, you know.
No, it's not.
So the teams out there, look, teams like that are going to find people that are first-time head coaches or that are really wanting to be a head coach, like Carolina. They're going to pick up somebody. Most people are going to shy away from that job. They're just going to shy away from it. No one wants to go down there. First-time head coaches, somebody that really wants to prove themselves, yeah, they would take that job. And when they get fired, people know it's Carolina. It doesn't look as bad. But when you go to a team like the Patriots or Seattle or Chicago.
They've got a roster available. Well, I'm going to throw Chicago in there, though. Chicago is
they got a shitty organization to a degree, too. But it's not nearly as bad. I think if you look at
places like Atlanta is a safe bet because the ceiling is kind of low. Expectations is low. But that roster is talented.
It is. Very talented. With
Seattle. I would say Seattle's up a micro step above Atlanta. But Atlanta, I believe that's an area where you can do something. Because Arthur Blank is a pretty good owner for what I've seen. He's going to let them do what they need to do. And if you can get someone like a Harbaugh in there that can do what they need to do, and if they can trade for like a Justin Fields, having a B.J. Robinson and all these guys in there, and so someone of picks, maybe they get a D.J. Moore or something, they just get a bunch of stuff working for them, they're going to be in a good spot. That NFC South is very winnable.
Here's my hot take. And this is what I think is going to happen. I think Belichick has already been contacted, and I think it's been by the Eagles. And I guarantee you, if they lose this playoff game, Belichick gets that job. They fire Sirianni, and he takes that job.
Andy Reid's lost game has had collapses before, though. And he didn't get launched like this.
It doesn't matter, because there's two different – there's so much of a difference between Belichick and Sirianni. It's not even funny. Sirianni is a hype man.
He wanted to play for Belichick, though.
Dude, I don't know if they will or won't, but at this point, it doesn't really matter. I think the whole thing is that I'm telling you, Sirianni's on the hot seat. This playoff game is going to be his hot seat, and I think he's on it. And I have a feeling that Belichick may take that job. It's not even get it. He's going to take it. He's going to say, you know what, if you want me to come here.
The Cowboys job opens up. He's going to go
there. And that's another one. I don't know if he's so much going to work with Jerry Jones, because Jerry Jones is the GM.
Wants to have his hand in everything.
Once he has his hand in everything. The Eagles owner is not like that so much anymore. He learned his lesson with Doug Peterson. So I have a feeling this is what's going to happen if they lose that game. If they lose that playoff game, Sirianni is going to be out. They lost five games in a row. They are not, well, almost five games in a row. They're not good.
Including to the lowly Cardinals
and the lowly Giants. Yeah.
When the Eagles still had their starters in, they were down 24-0 in the first half.
Absolutely. So. I'm just telling you, I have a weird – and I asked around a little bit about it today, and they said I wasn't wrong. I'm just telling you, Sirianni's on the hot seat, and he may not even know it.
When going into the season, when the narrative behind your team is, whether it's true or not, but the narrative was you have the most talented roster in all of football. You have the most depth. You have the most talent in all of football. Mm-hmm. And you have a midseason collapse after having the number one seed almost locked up. Yeah, I mean, if they would have beat the 49ers, they'd have had the number one seed like 2/3 of the way through the year. Yeah, and they had a collapse. So. Yeah.
That roster right there is up Bill Belichick's sleeve. They got a defense that he can build off of. He can bring in some guys that he wants to build off, to fix the secondary, get rid of some of the aging players. And then he has a really good offense that all he needs is an offensive coordinator, because we know Belichick isn't one. So if you bring in a good offensive coordinator and build off of the defense that they already have, that's what I see happening with him if Sirianni loses this game. It's just my hot take. I could be wrong, but I have a feeling I'm not. Anyway, moving on to the next coach. We know Pete Carroll. Everybody's saying Pete Carroll's done coaching. I don't think he is. I think he made a comment, and his comment was, "I'm not tired. I'm not exhausted. I'm fine. I feel just as good as I did 20 years ago." This was a collective, situation, a collective agreement between ownership, and Pete Carroll to move off for a year. I don't know if he's going to even stick around as that advisor. If somebody offers him a job, I think the only reason why he would take it is because he's getting paid. They want to keep, he's under contract. So they want to keep him around because he's knowledgeable about the team. He's been there for a very long time. He can help whatever coach comes in build off of what he's had to a degree and learn the culture, learn everything about it. I just don't see him sitting around and going, "Yeah, I'll be an advisor." I don't see that happening. I think he's
going to end up. I don't see it happening either.
No, I think he's going to end up taking a head coaching job somewhere. And I feel like somebody's going to offer him one, and he's just going to run with it.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a guy that finds another place in the NFL, because he has been a guy that's proven to be successful, even when, he hasn't had Russell Wilson. I mean, they had a decent year this year. I mean, nobody is sitting here and saying that the Seahawks had, like, a bad year. They were in the playoff hunt until the very last week. They needed the Packers to lose, and they were in the playoffs. So it's not like – it's not like that they have a superstar quarterback and that they failed in the season. They have Geno Smith, who has turned out to be a fine starter, but nobody's sitting there thinking that Geno Smith is going to drag your team through the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Look, one other team that I want to bring up, and I've brought this up in the past, and I still think it rings true. The Buffalo Bills lose this game in Pittsburgh. McDermott's fired.
Speaking of which, the conditions there are supposed to be like white out. There's a chance that the state of New York calls a state of emergency because of how much snow is supposed to drop. If that does happen, the game will be played in Cleveland because Detroit is hosting a playoff game for the first time in 93 years.
Wow, that's right.
Interesting.
So be ready for that you might see, the Bills and the Steelers play a game in Cleveland.
Yeah. And it may happen.
I'm really hoping it stays in Buffalo, because the best chance the Steelers have in winning that game is like whiteout conditions, because the Steelers played a game very similar to that last week when they were in Baltimore. Now, granted, it was rain and not snow, but it was disgusting out on that field. It was cold. Yeah. It was rainy. and the ball was just loose. This game will come down to field position and being able to run the ball. You're not going to be able to pass in that. And I know Josh Allen plays in Buffalo, but you know, when it comes to some of these horrible conditions, Josh Allen has not been a great quarterback. You guys remember last year or 2 years ago now, where there was that wind tunnel out in New England, and mm-hmm. Mac Jones and the Patriots beat the Bills when he threw three passes.
Yes.
And Josh Allen couldn't complete anything.
Yeah.
So there are examples, including another snow game up in Buffalo, where Josh Allen hasn't been, you know, up to his high level up in and bad weather. So if Pittsburgh has a chance, it'll be if they stay in Buffalo in the snow.
Here's what I see, and this is the only reason I'm saying this. You have two football teams with the Buffalo and the Eagles that are on that fringe and have been on that fringe for a while. You have two owners that have been dealing with coaches that aren't doing them justice.
Mm-hmm.
They just need a reason. The fact that Belichick is now on the market will give any team, especially those two teams,
a reason to just do it.
And I'm just telling you, those two – look, I've been telling you for a while that I've heard since really – he was kind of on the hot seat last year, and now he's really on the hot seat this year. He lost control of the team. He got it back a little bit this year, but he still didn't have 100% control of that football team, and that's Sean McDermott. He's still on the hot seat. He loses his playoff game. He's done. Belichick will take that job. I mean, you got two of the best coaches, really. I mean, you got the number one, really the number one head coach, if you go by statistics, in Bill Belichick, and you got a top five in Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both on the market right now. And then you got Pete Carroll, another Super Bowl winning coach. It would be stupid for these two teams that have great rosters and really good quarterbacks to not make a move when they're honestly their coaches aren't doing them any justice. It's just my opinion. But anyway, somebody brought up EB today and asked about his coaching in Washington. They haven't made a decision on head coach yet. From what I've heard, it's not going to be him. Mm-hmm. And I did hear that he is in line for an interview with the Falcons.
That would be
for the head coaching position. That'd be his third interview with the Falcons, by the way. And since he's been during his time with the Chiefs anyway, this would be number three. He did two with the Falcons prior. Mm-hmm. I don't see that happening. He took a shot. He really bet on himself in Washington, and he didn't win that bet.
I'm not slamming the guy.
I don't slam the guy. I'm just saying he had his opportunity to make changes at the beginning of the season, and he stuck with the roster that he had.
Mm.
And I think that, especially with Sam Howell, he had an opportunity to go out and get another quarterback. He did not do that. They had the money. He stuck with Sam Howell. They do have a talented offense. Sam Howell wasn't bad. He was like third in the league in passing there for a while.
It's just Sam Howell gets confused on which uniform his team's wearing.
Yes. Correct.
So does Josh Allen. But all I'm saying is that he should have taken – I think he should have really looked at what he was getting into. And I understand that was probably the only position that he had to get. And there were some promises made to him that are now null because there's new ownership. So when that happens and the owner makes – they win five football games and the owner says, okay, this didn't work out on either side of the ball. You know, really he went into that position – knowing that Ron Rivera was going to be fired. He was supposed to get that head coaching job this year if they did well. They did not do well. So pushback, but I'm just telling you, he didn't win that battle. He didn't go in there and make a complete culture change. They actually they won less games than they did the year before. They actually won seven games the prior year, if I'm not mistaken. They won five this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. I don't see him getting a head coaching job this year. I see Brian Flores getting one somewhere.
Hopefully. Oh yeah, Flores. I think he would be able to help a team do really well.
I do too. I agree. he's already been a head coach. He knows how to draw up plays. He knows how to call plays. He understands positions and players. I just don't know if EB is going to get that. He said, hopefully he gets it. That's good, Joe. We can blame Nagy, but it's a collective problem with the team.
It is. I think Nagy's more of a problem, though, than what people want to give on. But that's just my
opinion. I think his problem is that he's not creative. Into this right this minute. He's not. It's not. Oh, he's pretty creative. He's just not.
I mean, when you call him,
he doesn't take the chances.
On third and 15 now, I mean.
He's just not taking the chances. He normally draws up some pretty nasty-ass plays. He's just not been taking the chances with these wide receivers the way things were going at the beginning of the season. That's all changed. That's changed, you know. So, regardless, yeah, I don't know, man. It just, to me, these coaches are there's the problem. And, you know, I look at, like, Antonio Pierce. Here's a great example. How about this poor guy? He takes over the Raiders, gets a 5-4 record, and it just happens to be the season that every fucking head coach out there that's been a head coach is on the market right now. And then a head coach out of college that is very sought after. I mean, what's his chances of keeping that job with the Raiders? Honestly, I know the players are advocating for him, but honestly, I think if Harbaugh came in and said, yeah, I'll take the Raiders. If Vrabel came in and said, yeah, I'll take the Raiders. Pete Carroll came in, I'll take the Raiders. Sorry, man, but, you know, it's just not going to happen.
What do you? I don't know. I don't think Mark Davis is that dumb, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. I mean, 13 head coaches since 2002.
Yes, but I think there's something different, though, with Pierce, though. I feel like there's something a lot more different. So
There is. He's actually taken a team and built the. He's perfect for their culture. That's what it is. He's a perfect Raider. And I think that's what Davis. I don't think he looks at it that way. I think he looks at it as who's going to get me there quicker, who has the biggest resume, who's going to be able to come in here and change things right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man. It just happens to be a really bad year for first time head coaches and interim head coaches or guys that want to be a head coach. When you got all these guys out on the market, it's just a really tough time. What was your pushback on EB there, Quentin?
Oh, that, you know, there's only so much you can change as an offensive coordinator when your, you know, franchise is as dysfunctional as Washington was. Yes. So, plus, I think that he did do a good job with that offense. And we saw how explosive it was and what he was able to do with the limited weapons that they have and the clear problems and flaws that Sam Howell has. There was a time during the NFL season that Sam Howell was leading statistical categories, passing yards, being one of them. So yeah, I think that Eric Bieniemy proved that he can be an offensive coordinator away from Andy Reid and that a team should take a shot with him.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and maybe, you know, I just look at it from a perspective of, okay, he had 100% in his contract, his contract stated he had 100% of all play calling abilities. That was his job. No one can step on his toes. He could bring in who he wanted. He could get rid of who he wanted. And he stayed pat with who he had.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it from that perspective. Sam Howell, yes, he did really well against teams that weren't so great. But then when he played teams that were great, he wasn't that great.
Yeah, because he has clear physical limitations.
Yes. Correct. So why would you stick with him when you had opportunities to go out and get another quarterback?
Who else was he supposed to get? Fucking... I mean, it's not like Eric Bieniemy is the GM. He can't go out and trade for Kirk Cousins. He can't go out and sign Joe Flacco. No, he can't. He can't. That's not his job. He's the offensive coordinator. You can't be an offensive coordinator and go and sign free agents.
No, it was in his contract that he can make changes within that offense, and he stayed pat with who he had.
What else is he?
I just said it. If he wanted to trade players off and wanted a different quarterback, he could have gotten that because it was in his contract. But he didn't take that road.
Mm-hmm.
That was in his contract. If you go back and look at it and look at anything that was written about it, he had full control of the offense. Make changes, bring different people in, ask for different players.
Then what did he want? Do any of that. What could he have done? What players were available to improve the offense?
There was other players that he could have brought in to supplement the players that were bad.
Outside of what Aaron Rodgers was got traded to the Jets. They were never. It was never.
There was no one really on the market.
It wasn't just quarterback.
There was no massive quarterback. You know, dealings during the offseason or anything like that, other than Aaron Rodgers, who was always going to go to the Jets. He was the only one talked about going to the Jets. I mean, I just think that there was no real way to improve the team after the team was set.
I don't know. I can say this. He could have easily picked somebody up off of that was a backup that's had more experience in the league than Sam Howell did. And he didn't do that. He didn't even have a quality backup. Which is beyond my scope of imagination. Is you're going to keep Sam Howell that no one ever heard of, and then you don't have a quality backup. That's all I'm saying. I think he probably thought he was going to do a lot better than he did. He had they have great offensive weapons out there.
Yeah, I would say the defense failed the team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Chiefs Dolphins. Chiefs are playing a playoff game on Saturday. I don't know if you know that. So let's talk the injury report for both the Chiefs and the Dolphins. Significant problems for both teams. Well, not really significant for the Chiefs. Wanye Morris has already been ruled out with his concussion. He has not finished concussion protocol. The only two guys that are questionable on the injury report as of right now are Justin Ross and Kadarius Toney. Everybody else was in full participation of practice. So Kansas City is extremely healthy. Andy Reid today during the press conference said that Donovan Smith is going to be playing left tackle and that he's fully ready to go. He's no longer having his stinger problems. In fact, he was a full participant in practice today. The other side for the Dolphins, they've got dudes catching social security checks playing pass rusher for them. they've went out and they've signed a couple of guys out of the, just sitting on the couch to come play. Guys like Xavier Howard, who has a foot injury, hasn't practiced all week, already ruled out. Deshaun Elliott, their safety, and their Holland, their free safety, haven't practiced all week and are listed as questionable, but it's Thursday night and you play on Saturday. So Raheem Mostert and Jalen Waddle are also labeled as questionable. They have been limited in practice all week. Both of them have ankle injuries. If you are limited in practice, even if you for this all week, it's on a short week. Even if they play, I can't imagine that they're going to be at 100%.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is a problem for the Dolphins heading in here. You're missing key defensive players. This doesn't even include the guys that have already been ruled out for the rest of the season, like Bradley Chubb, whose knee fell apart, two, 3 weeks ago at this point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Dolphins are a beat-up football team heading into Kansas City. And, by the way, it's going to be really fucking cold.
Yes. Caleb? You said the magic word right there. You said it. Go ahead.
What's the magic word?
The ankles. Ankles are going to fucking feel that cold ass weather.
It's going to stiffen up. Those injuries are going to look. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little scared that Justin Houston returning back to KC, because when he comes back, he likes to play good. So whoever's guarding them has to realize this guy's going to go off. He's going to try to go off. So
yeah, he's going to need some bifocals in order to see Patrick Mahomes. He's going to have to squint real good.
Well,
I think Tamba should just, after he's get done banging the drum, should go sign a one-day deal with the Dolphins and join him.
Might as well.
We can call Christian too and see if he wants to play. No, look, Mozart and Waddle, when they get off that plane, that injury may hurt immediately. They may say, fuck this, I'm hurt, I ain't playing, I can't play. Look, this is weather that these guys are nowhere near used to. We talked about the stats that I put out a couple of days ago. Tua alone is not good. When it comes to this weather. So he is 0-4 in every game he's played under 40 degrees. It's 45 degrees. He is 6-13 under 70 degrees, which is very strange. Miami themselves are 0-10 under 45 degrees. This is not a good situation for them at all.
They're simply a different team on the road. It's mm-hmm. it's as simple as that. I think bringing up Tua, I have the quarterback, the throwing chart. If this has that, he can put it up. Where the Dolphins offense is successful is over the middle of the field. Right. Mm-hmm. I know they have an explosive offense, and so people just immediately assume that it's because they throw the ball deep down the field. That's not true. So if you're looking at this passing chart, or if you're listening via podcast, I'll explain it to you. Tua is below or is within the average of the NFL when he's throwing to the left side of the field at all levels. Where the team is most successful is within that first 10-yard mark right down the middle of the field. Now, I know you're going to see some higher quarterback numbers when you're throwing the ball down the field, but you got to remember, where do they throw the ball the most is over the middle of the field.
Yes.
Where Kansas City is very strong on this defense is that linebacking core. And for the yes. first time in, what, a month and a half, Kansas City's linebacker core is going to be fully healthy. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have if not the best part of your defense – is going to be huddled right around there in that 10-yard mark, and you're going to be able to take away those easy, quick slant routes where guys like Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle thrive, right?
Yeah.
Because the Dolphins get their big run after the catch, you know, guys. That's where the speed pays off, is catching the ball in stride and then getting mm-hmm. that big run. So yes. here is the passing chart from Tua's last game. Look at where a lot of those completions are. A lot of those completions are within that 10-yard mark, right? Over the middle of the field. Kansas Correct. City, if you're able to take that away, you limit the offense so much. Mm-hmm. You take yeah. away what the Dolphins do best. And there's guys like Drew Tranquil, Willie Gay, and Nick Bolton that are going to have something to say about that. Kansas mm-hmm. City's strength of the defense is built to stop the Dolphins.
Yep, it absolutely is. Absolutely is. And look, and if you notice in that chart, he had one pass that was a deep ball pass.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all those passes that he threw, you throw deep against this secondary and you're going to struggle as well. No matter how you look at it, you're going to struggle. So what I see, if they can figure out a way of running the football and trying to get yards on the ground, and I feel like that's what they're going to do, is they're going to try and run the ball a whole lot. That's where they think they're going to be able to succeed. I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen for them, because we do have a good pass defense or a run defense, especially after the first quarter for some reason. I don't know why we kind of let guys go a little crazy in the first quarter, and then after that we shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
This game is not built for them to win in any aspect. It's just not, especially going up against us. It's weird. Vegas had it as a 4-point spread. I know that'll change probably 3 more times between now and Saturday.
Oh,
but as of yesterday, it was a 4-point spread, which was kind of like surprising.
As the weather gets colder, the lines get wider.
Exactly.
You know, because exactly. Earlier in the week, it wasn't supposed to be, the physical temperature wasn't supposed to be this cold. But as
no, it's supposed to be like 16 or something, and then it just went to shit.
Further and further, yeah. You know, Kansas City isn't going to get all the snow that we were supposed to get tonight and Friday night. Depending on where you live in the metro area, you know, you're going to get up to an inch, right?
Yes.
Earlier in the week, some parts of the metro were going to get up to 6 inches of snow. All of that has moved up north, but we're getting this heavy cold front that's moving in, and the Dolphins and the offense, what do we consistently talk about all throughout the season, all in the off season? What plays well in the playoffs? Defense Running. And run game. Those exactly. are the two things. It's Clyde. Defense and run game.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins don't have a very good defense because of the injuries, and the Dolphins could run the ball, don't get me wrong. But when I'm able to stack the box, and not only does stacking the box stop your passing game because of the over middle of the field stuff, but mm-hmm. I can also limit your run game, it's perfect mm-hmm. for Kansas City. So I think Absolutely. That this is a team, this defense is built to stop a team like Miami.
Absolutely. And that's what I was saying. I mean, they're going to try and run the ball a whole lot. I don't know if it's going to be successful for them, but they're going to try. And I still don't think it's going to be very successful. In fact, I think if I remember right, the stats I put up during those games, Tua had a 57 passer rating. Mahomes, on the other hand, by the way, is 10-1 in games below 40. He's 5-0 in games below 20,
mm-hmm.
and his passer rating is 94.1.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I understand this is. And that even kind of includes a couple, maybe a game or two this year. But That's over his career. So this is just built for a Kansas City win. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Now, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but on Twitter, there has been an enormous amount of Miami fans that want this game moved. They wanted it moved all week.
It's not moving.
No.
And I know a lot of these guys look. I know a lot of these guys are young kids that maybe just started watching football. Maybe some of them are, I don't know who they are. But everybody that's said that, their line of, I guess the reasoning behind it is, oh, well, it's player safety. No. Do you understand?
It wasn't player safety when the Vikings played the Seahawks like 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. You know what I'm talking about?
It's never been player safety. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, it was. I was at the, when Miami was here in the last year of Alex Smith, when it was cold, where the wind chill was in the negatives. That it just that. It is. This is football weather. This is January in Kansas City. This is just what happens.
Look, I mean, the coldest game recorded so far has been 57 below wind chills.
Ooh.
So they played
that. I believe that was in Green Bay.
It absolutely was in Green Bay. And that they played that football game. So if you look at the top five, they're all within, you know, the top was 57 and the mm-hmm. lowest was like 28. And this is going to be worse.
I think that's where Lambeau got the Frozen Tundra name. That might be like the Frozen Tundra.
It is where they got that. It is where they got
it. I think that was against the Steelers, if I remember correctly.
I thought it was the Vikings.
I don't know why I know that.
I'll look it up.
I don't know if it was the Steelers or the Vikings. I can't remember now. But all I know is that it was where they got the name, and it was a cold-ass game. They didn't have the luxury of having a heated field like the Chiefs do. They didn't have those any luxuries, as a matter of fact.
It's because the Ice Bowl game between the Packers and the Cowboys, December 31st, 1967, -15 to 26 degrees with sharp winds. So yeah, that's why.
Yeah. So when you get into the games like this, look, man, football has been played outdoors since inception. It's that simple. People are saying, oh, well, they should dome every team. Look, that is not football. Just like AstroTurf is not football. I'm sorry. AstroTurf needs to be removed because all it's done is cause more injuries than it's saved. It saved owners money, but it's really a detriment.
For the player's expense.
Correct. So when you really look at it, it's stupid. There's a lot of Miami fans out there that are whining because they know that they don't have a shot in this game most likely. So they're really trying everything they can try. Hey, Joe said, oh, and that's something else I wanted to bring up. Joe said they could have moved the broadcast if they wanted to piss on Peacock. Okay, Joe, I want to tell you something. So NBC paid $110 million. I have the notes. $110 million to have that game played on Peacock. So this wasn't an NFL decision so much as it was a NBC decision. To make
it's
money.
Dumb. Just put it on TV so people can watch it.
You're in the local market, you're going to be able to watch the game.
I just think it's stupid.
And that's the thing. There's Chiefs fans all over the world, though. I mean, there's Chiefs fans everywhere.
Why?
So I already have Peacock, so it's not that I don't care. And I guess my whole argument to this is you will spend anywhere from $60 to $180 for an MMA fight that may last 20 seconds, but you won't spend $5 to watch a playoff game. If you're out of market and you're a fan,
I'm tired of everything being moved because next thing you know, they're going to put a game on Paramount Plus and you got to buy a Paramount Plus subscription and they're going to do something else. And I have a feeling in the next 4 or 5 years, we're going to have like 5 or 6 different subscriptions. It's dumb. What happened to the regular Fox, CBS, NBC, and a call today? Yeah. I mean, why do we have to go to
Well, NBC owns Peacock. That's why. They want the subscription right out.
I'm glad it's the local channels, and unfortunately, it's difficult because some people can't. But it's like, why should they have to pay to watch a playoff game like that? This needs to be to where people can watch it so people can see. I'm not going to pay money to watch the Chiefs. Sorry, I'm not going to pay the money to watch the Lions in the Vikings game on Peacock. If it's on regular TV, I'll tune in. But why would I pay $10-15 a month for that? I don't even use Peacock.
Well, here's the deal.
I think it comes to a point where, they might have us pay pay-per-view for Super Bowl. I mean, that's stupid. Why?
For anybody out there that's listening or listens after this,
Yes, for the cash. You are right. But the issue is, like, are we really going to that point? I was listening to something a while back, actually a couple of days ago, and this guy was thinking that we're going to pretty soon have to where there's just going to be a couple major streaming services that are going to be combined into one thing, like two or three major things. We have seven or eight combined in one, and that's what's just going to happen.
You mean cable?
Yes, basically.
That's exactly what it is.
It comes to a point, though, it's like, do we really have to go to all these different places to watch games? I can't even watch the Royals anymore because they want us to play for stupid Bali sports. And I like the Rocks Royals. I can't even watch Kansas City soccer games because you can't even get them if you don't have a certain thing. It's just, I'm tired of all these different paywalls. You should be able to watch your local team, yes. I agree with that. That's good. That's why they have it here for us. But if I want to look at other teams, though, it's a little frustrating to have to continue to go with this paywall. Because pretty soon, and it's already a big thing, people are using legal streams. And it's only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh, that reminds me. I'm glad you said that, Caleb. I'm absolutely glad you said that.
Why are they continuing to do this? I can understand maybe outsourced markets like in England or Germany or things like that. This is the United States. We can't have anything good or decent.
I know. I get it. But I'm glad you said the illegal streaming thing. There are
it's going to get more and more.
No. What I'm saying is there's some ignorant ass people in the world. If you're using a pirated streaming app, you definitely don't want to go on a very large social platform and post out the name of the streaming app. And these dumbasses have posted out Stream East. There's one called Meth Stream, and it actually is called Meth Stream. And they're naming them all over social media. Oh, well, we're just going to pirate it off Stream East and off Meth Stream and off this and off that. Do you think these networks and everybody, they're going to shut this shit down because you dumbasses are telling them where to find it. Mm-hmm. If you're going to stream it illegally, shut the fuck up about it. Don't tell everybody on social media where to stream it at, because by the time that game comes, and not only that, these illegal pirating apps, even if the game is going, they don't have the bandwidth to hold as many people as you're telling to go there. So you know what you're going to get? A bunch of fucking fuzzy lines and blackouts. Yeah. I had an illegal streaming app here once. It's no longer around, so I can name it. It was called Area 51. It worked great for about 3 days. And then as soon as they started loading up, their bandwidth went crazy. I got NFL ticket. I got all this stuff. It was $5 a month. I thought, fuck. I'll do that. I signed up with them. The first football game I watched was terrible. Terrible. I'm talking about lines through it. But these people are going on fucking social media and naming off the illegal streaming apps. Why would you do that?
What? Yeah. It makes no sense. But
it doesn't. But I get what you're saying, and I understand it. But this isn't so much an NFL thing as it was an NBC thing. They made that decision. And
they signed off on it, though. But, I mean – I guess that's something we could visit this off scene as well, too, because I have a lot more to say about that. Because my opinion, I don't think it's necessary, but it is what it is. So, but Quentin.
Okay, well, I think what we're going to see in the long run, he said thief. what we're going to see in the long run is that because cable is going on the wayside, all these Hulu and all these companies. Look, and for everybody out there that has Hulu, I don't know if you have I have Hulu. It's not that fucking great. First of all, it lags by about 3 plays because their bandwidth isn't even big enough for what they've done. So when I first signed up with them, Hulu Premium, every option, every channel, everything you could get was about $38 a month. Now it's $76. That's more than some cable companies are charging. It's more than DirecTV. It's more than Dish, and cable companies are lowering their prices because of the streaming apps. People cutting the cord. Well, as soon as enough people cut the cord, then their prices go up. That's just what happens. Mm-hmm. Hulu sucks in a lot of ways. I have YouTube TV too. YouTube TV I got for free because of Verizon. Tried it this year. The one thing I can say about NFL Ticket is that I'm ahead of everybody else when I'm doing the live cast shows.
Mm-hmm.
Only when I have NFL Ticket. Only. If I'm doing it on Paramount Plus or I do it on Hulu, I'm so far behind, it's pathetic. He said Disney is talking about.
Yes, we're going to have it to where there's going to be like two or three companies that's going to be combined into one.
Yeah. And they need to, because Disney is a, I mean, they're the, you know, they're the parent company of so many different, you know, ESPN and everybody else. So kind of is what it is. Yeah. But regardless,
let's Charles and Minnie Hugh. You ready?
Let's get into our lovely, believe it or not, we'll punch through these pretty quickly. The first I want to just talk about the offensive line real quick, and I'm just having a feeling that Patrick Mahomes just doesn't get sacked. So believe it or not, Patrick Mahomes' jersey has got no green on it by the end of the game.
You want to go JP, me, then you?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
I can believe that. Given the fact that Donovan Smith is coming back, the defensive line for the Dolphins isn't that great. I take that back. They're okay. I mean, they've got a couple of aging players on that team that actually used to play for us. But regardless, I don't see him getting touched. Not with our offensive line and with Smith back. I don't see it happening. And not to mention that Taylor actually had a mistake-free game, which I had to check my pulse, but he did have a mistake-free game. So I don't see him getting touched. What do you think, Caleb?
I think maybe one time. It happens. Because this year, Mahomes will hold on the ball a little longer. I think it happened one time, but that's all I think will happen. So,
yeah, I'm with you, Caleb. I think that we're going to see a couple times Mahomes will get pushed to the ground. But like I said, some of these guys are collecting Social Security checks, so they're not gonna really get in Mahomes' face all that much. I think Patrick Mahomes has a clean pocket for a majority of the game. Okay. Number two, Pacheco touches the ball 17 times in total. So that's rushing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. In this temperature, 100% he does. 17 touches or more. 100%.
Yeah, I was going to say 15, but I think it's very possible. 15 is probably going to get there, but I'm going to say yes, 17.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that if I say it out loud, I can speak it into existence. You know, put it out in the universe, and let's see if the simulation catches it or not. So I hope so. I think a majority of those are going to be rushes.
Joe said 25 plus.
I think, you know, 14 rushes, a couple of passes is what I'm, you know, really hoping for. I think the more the merrier, though, because this is the way playoff football is, right? I hope this is the way that it goes. But, you know, this is, like I said, I want to put it out in the universe and see what sticks. Mm-hmm. My final one is – I want to see that the defensive line has actually had a pretty good year. Let's say that Charles Omenihu, I know we haven't talked about him a whole lot in terms of his production, but he's had a pretty good year, especially since he missed half the season. So Charles Omenihu gets a sack.
Yeah, I think so. Their offensive line's not good. And Charles Omenihu is very good. I see him getting a sack. Absolutely see him getting a sack.
This is a tough one. I'm going to give it to him. Why not? Or at least half a sack. I can think he can get something. Half a sack or a sack.
Yeah, I think the interior of the defensive line, Chris Jones coming off his 15-mile-an-hour run post-sack, and Charles Omenihu up front. George Karloftis finished the year with double-digit sacks. So this defensive line has had a pretty good year. Nobody's blown, you know, out of the water with their production, but I think there's been a lot of guys on the line that have just had good years, and I really want to see that, you know, move forward. We need who's going to be that Frank Clark type guy? Who's going to be the guy that steps up? And I think it's going to be Charles Omenihu.
Yeah, okay, I agree. I agree with you. And here's the thing. If I'm not mistaken, the Chiefs are second in sacks on the season, collectively. So, and I think Philip can – I know he knows the stats better than I do, but if I'm not mistaken, they're second in sacks in the NFL. If I'm correct. So I see this. Look, man, Joe Cullen was the best thing that ever happened to this football team when it comes to defense. He absolutely changed the dynamic of that defensive line in every aspect. Sucks about it is he's probably going to get a job as a DC somewhere. And I hope he doesn't. I hope he stays here. But I guarantee you people are going to be calling him as soon as whatever we do in this, hopefully we get to the Super Bowl, but whatever we do during this playoff, he's going to be getting calls because he's that good. And it sucks. But, yeah, this defensive line's They're going to – I see Tua going down four, maybe five times in this game. I can see it happening.
Wow.
So, yeah. He look, man, when he's under pressure, he's terrible. We know that. And we're great at creating pressure.
Especially up the middle. Like I said, if you know, Tua's most successful when he gets the ball out of his hands quickly over that middle stuff. If you can take that first read away, you know, not that he panics necessarily, but he's not effective as a quarterback. So mm-hmm. I think that's sort of the gameplay is if you can create pressure up the middle, I'd love to see some of those linebacker blitzes, those delayed blitzes to get a free rusher up the middle. You basically use Omenihu and Chris Jones to open up a hole. This is something that I think Kansas City can expand on.
Yeah.
Score predictions as our
hold
final
on real second. Quick. We got to talk about Travis Kelce real quick because we didn't bring that up. Travis Kelce made it very clear what we've talked about on this show that he is not retiring.
Yeah.
Let me
pull the quote up.
He said, "I love football. I have no plans on retiring anytime soon." That's what he said. So,
and he was very jovial in his press conference today.
Correct.
So
he was.
I don't think that there was, you know, any malintent involved in that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
He said, I have no reason to stop playing football. I have no desire to stop anytime." That's his direct quote that he gave at the press conference today. So,
correct. He said, "I love football."
Better, yeah. That this is, you know, I don't think I was ever like he's going to retire. I just think that, you know, with how beat up he looked. I was like, you never know with a guy that just looked not great on the sideline, you know.
Well,
so to hear him
that
say
was
that,
a lot of frustration too. That was that was a combination of both.
To hear him say that really lifts some of that, you know, my worry off of my shoulders. So yeah, I think he was pretty clear with it.
Yeah, and here's another thing. Everybody's worried about this scheme. They're worried about MVS being involved. They're worried about him being on the field. I've asked around for 2 days straight, talked about it on Tuesday. From what I understand, if he is on the field, Andy Reid is going to play this a little bit like a chess match in this game. From what I understand, he's going to go out there and play like every other football game. If MVS is on the field, he's not getting targeted. He just won't get targeted. If he does and he misses a pass, he will not see the field again. But Andy is not going to show his hand, show his cards, unless they need to. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it's going to be. Everybody I have talked to has told me the same exact thing. This is not the game that you show your hand in, unless you absolutely have to. You don't show your cards. Moving on from that point, depending on who wins that Buffalo game, is going to make a big difference. It's going to be a huge difference. But right now, Andy will play it as it goes. I wouldn't worry so much about what these offensive weapons are going to be because he has changed things. We saw it last week. We saw players step up when they needed to. You're going to see a lot of Rice, a lot of Watson, Tony, McColl. But you're not going to see a whole lot of MVS. And you're going to see some plays maybe that, depending on how it goes, you're going to see some plays that we haven't seen this year.
But it's playoff time. That's what you got to do.
Correct. But this game to them, Andy's looking at it as, okay, I'm going to take this quarter by quarter. Because if we're dominating first, second quarter, playing similar to the way we normally play, then that's what I'm going to do. Because I'm not going to show all my cards right now. He knows he has two more football games to get through before the Super Bowl. And he's going to play tougher football teams. Whether it be the Texans, the Ravens, the Bills, it doesn't really matter. I mean, not the Texans. The Texans. It doesn't really matter who he's playing. He just knows that he's playing tougher football teams with better coaching and better defenses. So just keep that in mind. I wouldn't worry so much about what the offense is going to look like in this game. And don't bitch if there is a drop or two because it's going to be 40 fucking below zero. That's going to happen. But it's not going to be nearly as prevalent as it was during the season. And Travis Kelce, from what I understand, feels almost 100% compared to what he felt like the entire season. He's happy because of the changes that they have made. You're going to see a lot of Noah Gray out there. You may even see Blake Bell here and there, depending on how it goes from quarter one. So, and by the way, Charles Omenihu, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw, he teamed up with Peacock, and he's given, I know everybody says, oh, it's not much money, but he did it because he was worried about the Chiefs fans that were out of market that weren't able to see the game. He's given away, I think, 500 slots or something like that of Peacock. Big amount of slots. So it's 3 months for subscriptions. He's giving them away, and he's going to announce it tomorrow night. So everybody that gets in there, go on his page and retweet it, because like and retweet it. Because 500 people are getting Peacock subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well do it. And here, I wanted to say this because everybody was complaining. If you have somebody that you know that has Peacock, you can get a free trial. If you have a student in your household, you pay $250 a month for it. I do know that because I checked. I wanted to make sure everybody knew this before they went into this shit too much and started still complaining about it so much. It's not. It's $5. It's actually $5.99 a month. But if you have a referral from someone that already has it, it's free. And if you have a student or you are a student, it's $250. Kind of like going to the movies. Yeah. Let's get into the score predictions. Oh, wait a minute. Let's answer Will's question. Is there a chance that the Chiefs can sign both Chris Jones and Snead? Probably not. There's a chance that they can if they work the numbers right, but I don't think that's going to happen. In fact, as much as I hate to say this, I don't think Chris Jones will be here next year. And that's just what I've kind of heard now. And I thought for sure he wanted to stay, but I don't think it's going to happen. Unless something changes, from what I've heard the last couple of days, he probably won't be here. Snead probably will be. I think Veach he's really into corners versus what he used to be. And he wasn't into corners. Remember, Caleb, when we started doing this show, it was all about safeties. Four corners, and he was all about safeties. He signed every top name safety out there, but he didn't care so much about the cornerback room. Now he knows the value of the corners. So I have a feeling Snead's coming back, and I don't know if Chris Jones will. And I think the reason they signed Bugs is because they know it already. Mm-hmm. Or there was a chance that he wouldn't come back. Okay, now we can do the score predictions.
I've got 13-20, Kansas City. You know, I think that really becomes much closer than it seems to in the fourth quarter, but Kansas City, you're leaning back in your seat when you're watching on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Caleb?
JP, what you got? I'll go. I got 26-18 Chiefs.
Okay.
I think this is going to be a field goal fest at times.
Okay. I made a prediction on PSF, and I think, Joe, you were there. I don't remember. I think I said 27-10. With the weather, I kind of want to stick with that prediction, but I might go 20, if I do anything, I might. Is that what I said? 23-13? Or is that what you said, Joe? I said 23-13. Holy shit. Okay. Well, then I will stick with 23-13 then. I think I started to say 27-10 and I went backwards because of the weather, and I'm going to stick with that number. 23-13. So,
and I think that's all that I have. We'll do a show after the game on Saturday. So make sure you tune in for that. And
look at Phillip's numbers right there. 24-10, Mahomes throws for 344, two touchdowns, one to Kelsey, one to CEH, 47 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown, three touchdown game. Hey man, you might hit the number. You might hit it. Who knows? All right. I think that's all we got.
That's all that I have.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
All right. Well, we will be doing a live game cast on PSF. Make sure you join. It's going to be a lot of fun during that game. And then we will do a post game show and hopefully doing a victory dance. Chances are we will. He said, can I nickname Philip Rain, man, for all his stat knowledge? The guy lives and breathes football. There's no doubt about it. The guy understands football more better than anybody. He just – it's crazy the shit that he comes up with, and he just – it's out of nowhere. I mean, he sends me stats, and I'm like, damn. He just knows the game very well. So Shout out to Philip for all that, because he's good. But anyway, with that being said, we are going to do the live game cast starting about 15 minutes before the game, a little pregame stuff. And then he said, my brain is a MacBook. That's good. That's funny. And then we're going to do a postgame show on Chiefs Focus Live. So we will talk to you guys then. Peace out, everybody.
See ya.